Good morning and welcome. For those of us that are viewing online, you can check on our Facebook page, and if you would, go and either comment or like the worship service, the live stream. And if you're present, if you want to check it out, you can on your phone, but just as a reminder, turn the volume down so that we don't have feedback. I'm going to go through the announcements in just a brief summary. If you are visiting online, you can contact the church office to get a PDF copy of the bulletin. So, that being said, session meets today, right after worship service, and we will be in the conference room. The Camp Gilmont, the women's retreat, February 4th through the 6th. Mary Leah Duran is the contact on that. The Bible in Brown Bag Bible study started last week. Personal opinion, it was a smashing success. It was good. We are live streaming that on Facebook, and we will meet again this coming Wednesday. Feel free to join us in person or virtually. Bring lunch if you want to. Bring a Bible. Let's see. Don't forget the ritual of friendship, the red folder. Sign in. Send it down the pew to sign in. And check and see if there's somebody that you know or don't know. Prayers and concerns. Sadly, Michael East's father died in the last few days. So keep him in your prayers along with the others on the prayer list. And I believe that's all of our announcements.
Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray together. O God of steadfast love, at the wedding in Cana, your son Jesus turned the water into wine, delighting all who were there. Transform our hearts by your Spirit, that we may use our varied gifts to show forth the light of your love as one body in Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. God stretching to the heavens. God mighty like the mountains. Your salvation is expansive and generous, touching people and creatures alike. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 761, Called as Partners in Christ's Service.
We respond with deep love.
God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we long to be your faithful people, but our good intentions run out and we come up empty. For all the ways we fall short in our sin, forgive us. Gracious One, change us like water into wine to become what the world lacks, that our community, our nation, our church, and all creation may know your justice and love. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. As grateful, forgiven Christians, let us now stand together and sing Glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Now for our prayer of illumination. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive understanding and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. First reading today is from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. Regarding Zion, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding Jerusalem, I can't hold my tongue until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch. Foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled gold cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected, and your country will no more be called ruined. You will be called Hephzibah, my delight, and your land Beulah, married, because God delights in you, and your land will be like a wedding celebration. For as a young man marries his virgin bride, so your builder marries you. And as the bridegroom is happy with his bride, so your God is happy with you. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Christ is here beside you.
Our next reading is from the Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward said to the bridegroom and said to him, "Everybody serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you've kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we saw how Jesus joins with us through baptism. Jesus is God come to us where we live. Jesus was born just like we are born. Jesus was baptized like we are baptized. This week, in Jesus' first miracle, Jesus joins with us in celebrating marriage. This seems like an unlikely story to begin Jesus' earthly ministry. Not only is it the first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John, it is the first of seven signs that John records pointing to the divinity of Jesus. The seven signs are the turning of water into wine, the cure of the nobleman's son, the cure of the paralytic, the feeding of the multitude, the walking on water, the giving of sight to the blind, and the raising of Lazarus. In this list, turning water to wine seems almost trivial, yet it is the first. One thing that can be said about John, he does not waste words. In fact, most scholars point to John's unique ability to make words operate on several different levels. It's no accident that this miracle is the first one recorded by John. It's not just a surplus story. It is also no accident that this story comes immediately after John's rendition of Jesus' baptism. Jesus has gone through a ritual baptism that identifies Jesus with John's message of repentance. Jesus joins the movement that is declaring the gospel about the kingdom of God. John has pointed to Jesus as the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And from this dramatic scene, John turns to a very earthly celebration. Lest we think that God, who comes to us as Jesus, is not interested in our everyday lives, Jesus turns ritual washing water into abundant wine. 6 stone jars that held 20 to 30 gallons of water each were turned into high quality, delicious, joy-giving wine. That much wine should leave an abundant supply after the wedding party ends. Jesus was generous. Jesus brought joy. Wine to the Hebrews was a symbol of joy and prosperity. Proverbs 3:9-10 says this: "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine." Psalm 104:14-15 says, "You cause the grass to grow for the cattle, and the plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart." Clearly, God is not only with us in times of trouble, but is also with us in times of joy and celebration. After all, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's easy for us to fall into ritual observances and forget the joy. While it's true that the sacrament of communion sprung out of the feast of the Passover, a feast full of anxiety and anticipation of the exodus from Egypt, it also springs from the joy of resurrection and abundant life. Jesus, who gave of himself as symbolized by bread and wine, also gave joy and sustenance as symbolized by abundant wine and abundant bread. Remember that Jesus' feeding of the multitude left 12 baskets of leftovers from the 5 barley loaves? Jesus does not seem to be concerned with what is deserved. Jesus is dispensing generosity. There's a lesson for us in Jesus' generosity as well. Jesus does not ask for an accounting of what has been dispensed previously. Jesus does not ask, "What is the least I can give you to get you by for the moment?" Jesus does not figure precisely what is needed. Jesus gives abundantly. The mere fact that Jesus is at the wedding to begin with tells us something. If Jesus had a road manager, I suspect that the manager would have advised him to spend his time doing more important things, and that he did not have time to stop for a mere wedding. After all, Jesus had places to go, people to heal, lives to save. No, Jesus cares about our lives and our celebrations. Jesus cares enough to come to us where we live. Jesus even cares if we run out of wine. John is telling us that our lives matter to God. Our lives matter so much that Jesus' first miracle takes place at a wedding celebration. Richard J. Foster, writer of the spiritual classic, Celebration of Discipline, outlines 12 disciplines that are important in developing a spiritual life. You guess what the 12th one is? Celebration is the 12th discipline he outlines. Foster points out that Jesus entered the world with angels proclaiming joy. And he left telling his disciples these things, quote, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full," end quote. Foster tells us that joy makes us strong and celebration brings life. Foster goes on to say, quote, "Far and away, the most important benefit of celebration is that it saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. There is a desperately needed grace for all those who are earnest about spiritual disciplines. It is an occupational hazard of devout folk to become stuffy and boring. This should not be. Of all people, we should be the most free, alive, and interesting. Celebration adds a note of gaiety, festivity, hilarity to our lives. After all, Jesus rejoiced so fully in life that he was accused of being a wine bibber and a glutton. Many of us lead such sour lives that we cannot possibly be accused of such things," end quote. This scripture reminds us that God is with us in our milestones. We should celebrate weddings and births, graduations and birthdays, anniversaries, funerals and reunions, gatherings of family and friends as holy occasions. Jill Duffield, former editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, reminds us that, quote, "God is present, marking the transitions, remembering the setbacks, rejoicing in the hard-won progress, and enhancing the celebration, even when we do not note God's presence or contribution," end quote. Jesus' changing of water to wine reminds us that Jesus marks our milestones with us. It's interesting to note that this wedding takes place in Cana, a small town in Galilee where no person considered by the world to be important at that time lived. John does not feel it's significant to let us know whose wedding this is. We do not know the social position of the parents. We can reasonably guess that the wedding was not between wealthy families. After all, they ran out of wine. As such, Jesus demonstrates, as he so often does in the Gospels, that he cares for the least. But note, his care extends to celebration. Jesus is not just providing the necessities, though some of us might call wine a necessity. Jesus is providing abundance and joy and celebration, even for those who might struggle to make ends meet. Sometimes when we give, we think, does this person deserve to be helped? Did they create their own hardship through poor choices? Sometimes we consider whether they will wisely use our gift. What if they take the money I give and buy something unwise with it? Sometimes I've been known to give food instead of money just for this reason. But what would Jesus do? In this case, Jesus gives wine. Jesus gives the thing I fear my money might be used for if I give money instead of food. Maybe there's a lesson in that for me. Maybe I should be more concerned with giving abundantly than giving wisely. Maybe I should be more concerned about sharing joy than meeting a precise need. Maybe, as so often happens, Jesus is challenging me to think differently. Duffield goes on to say this, quote, "Jesus acts with over-the-top generosity toward us. We may well hoard our forgiveness or store up wealth for ourselves or calculate who is worthy of our help. But Jesus does none of that. He pours himself out. He fills our cups to the brim and over. He feeds the entire crowd with baskets left over. He forgives the very ones who murder him." End quote. I am inspired by this Jesus who attends weddings and turns ritual water into joy-giving wine. I'm inspired by this Savior who gives generously and abundantly without consideration of deserving. I pray that you and I might both find the joy of such generosity and celebrate. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words of the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of the human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator, who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 803, "My Shepherd Will Supply My Need." Please be seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our tithes, our lives, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Bring our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us call on the name of the Lord, saying, O God of grace. We pray for the church. Transform us from water into wine. From the ordinary people you have called into signs of Christ's glory in the world. O God of grace, we pray for the world. Let the nations know your saving love. Put an end to all war and oppression. And restore the glory of your creation. O God of grace, we pray for our communities. Let us work together to serve you. Help us to use the gifts of your Spirit for the good of the people in this place. O God of grace, we pray for the earth. Bless us with an abundance of food and resources. Make us grateful and satisfied when we have enough. O God of grace, we pray for loved ones. Give refuge to those who are hurting. Show them your steadfast love. Heal them and deliver them from harm. God of abundant grace. Mighty God, strengthen your people so that we may live in the world as those you have chosen and called through Jesus Christ our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 314, Christ Be Our Light.
See?
and heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Celebrate. Find the joy of Christ in everyday events. And remember that our God came that you and I, as God's children, might have life and have it more abundantly. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.